Okay, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn back over to the book of Matthew. I know one thing, we sure did gain from Calvary, amen. I appreciate the Lord helping us along the way and appreciate the Lord when you take the doctrine of imputation and think that because of Calvary, no longer are our sins imputed to our account. And not only that, but His righteousness is imputed to our account. And all because of the price that He was willing to pay at Calvary. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read just a couple of verses and back up into chapter 5 again tonight. I had no idea that we'd be that long in chapter 5 this morning, but I want to share a couple of thoughts with you tonight. I actually had a little, I guess, outline that I penned down in the margin of my Bible. And I believe this morning we would be talking about hindrances to the prayer closet. Hindrances. And then if God will help us, I don't know that we'll get there tonight, but I'd like to get into the prayer closet and see the help that we'll find in the prayer closet. And then I'd like to get down into the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer for the believer in verse 8 and following and see the hope that we get from the prayer closet. The Bible said here in verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." I want to say something right there. I don't believe that God's people, I don't believe that we can actually be a hypocrite. But I believe we can behave in hypocritical manners sometimes. If you're really born again, you're really born again, period. Amen. You are a saved child of God on your way to heaven. But I guess what I would say is this, not you, but we don't always act like it. Amen. So sometimes we might not be a hypocrite, but sometimes we behave in a hypocritical way, in a hypocritical manner. He said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Can I ask you a question? Don't you feel sorry for people that do what they do to be seen of men? I feel sorry for them. Amen. They've not learned something that's precious from the Word of God. He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." I'll say this, and I'll say more about it when we get into this particular text. But I believe some of the best praying that God's people ever do is when they can't speak at all. When they really can't even say. And really, sometimes we don't even know what's in our heart. But He knows. Amen. And He knows how to make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Let's pray a moment. Father, thank You for this precious passage of Scripture. And Lord, I know that, Lord, that You're teaching us truth here, that every word of God is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished. unto all good works. I pray, Father, tonight that, God, that you would take this little thought that you've magnified in my heart today and help us, our Lord, to find our way into the prayer closet. Help us, our Lord, to be challenged, our Father, not to do what we do to be seen of men, but, Lord, to realize that we have a Father in heaven that's paying attention. And, Lord, that, God, I'm just amazed already how we watch you reward prayer openly. Father, we pray tonight that you would just take the word now and help us. God, will give you glory in Jesus' precious name, and amen, and amen. I'm not going to go back over all the things that we talked about this morning, but I would like to continue with that thought and hindrances to the prayer closet. I believe if I were the enemy tonight, and I knew that, you know, that is where that God's people and God's church would derive its power from, I believe I would do everything in my power to hinder that walk with God in the prayer closet. I was thinking about just something as simple as an automobile. I filled my car up the other day for $30. And boy, did I rejoice in that. I don't know when the last time. And I mean, it was empty. And I filled that thing up for $30. 17 point something gallons of gas for $30. I said, hallelujah. But you know, we've got sense enough to know that when our car gets down there close to empty, we better be hunting a gas station. Amen. My daughter ran out of gas a little while back and called me and my son. And I think it was you, wasn't it, Bob? My son-in-law. Well, son-in-law. Amen. We took her some gas and got her back on her way. She said, I meant to go by the gas station. You know, some's going to listen to this message today. And they're going to mean to do well. They're going to mean to do right by the Word of God and by the God of the Word. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're not careful, you'll still run out of gas. Amen. Right here, I believe, is the secret to revival. Right here is the secret, not only to personal revival, but to corporate revival, is to getting back to the prayer closet. So I believe the enemy knows what he's doing. Sometimes I believe he's wiser than we are. And he knows how to keep us away from that would be the biggest help in our life. Let's go back to verse 17 in chapter number 5 and pick up with just a few thoughts tonight. And think about this thought of how that he's trying to keep us away from the secret place. Keep us from gathering under the wings of the one that loves us and gave himself for us. Keep us from the place of prayer. The Bible said here in verse 17, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You say, preacher, what do you think in the light of this message that God would say to us right there? Well, we all know the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Amen. And we all know the importance not just being hearers of the Word of God, but being doers of the Word of God. He says here, he talks about these commandments, this law, what God has given us, is not going to pass away. The Bible said it's forever settled in heaven. And what I want us to see tonight is, listen, it's not just a matter of breaking the commandments of God and not doing the commandments of God. That's bad enough in itself, but why would the devil, why would the enemy try to drive a wedge between us and our Bible? The reason is it'll keep us out of this place of blessing with the Lord.
He wants us to go through life. He wants us to be, He doesn't mind for us to be as busy as we can be, but He doesn't want us to be as godly as we can be. And busyness will never take the place of godliness. The Bible talked about over there in the book of Psalm 119, I was reading it, I think, this morning. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. We know the word of God. Now Jesus said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we know the word of God is a cleansing agent. But we don't know sometimes, I believe, that the reason that the enemy is trying to keep us from our Bible is to try to keep us from our Lord. How many sees that right there? I believe with all of my heart, I've said this from this pulpit and in other places, we'll never be any closer to our Lord than we are to our Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Let me help you tonight. How many knows that you can sit and watch a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game, and I'm not against that. Or you can watch them bowl. Amen, Brother James. I watched a little bit of that this afternoon. How many knows that you can just keep your mind wide awake? That's something you enjoy. That's something you, maybe you've had a little past. Maybe you played basketball or played football or had a son that did or a daughter that did. But listen to me. How many knows if you want to just sleep, get your Bible out? How many knows? Now, have you ever wondered why that is? Amen. Have you ever wondered why that you could take a magazine? My son-in-law bought me one the other day at Kroger's. There's three rifle powders out now, and you can load everything from 22 Hornet all the way up to the biggest Magnums with three powders. And everybody reloads. It's got 20 cans of powder sitting on the shelf. How come you can sit down and read that article and read that article? The enemy won't bother you. I'm telling you, you can just read and stay interested and stay alert. I tell you why. It's because the enemy knows if we get in that book and get close to that book and that book gets close to us, we're going to find our way under his wings. And he doesn't want us in that prayer closet with him. He wants to do everything that he can. I hope tonight that you all know that I'm not preaching at you. Preacher Fitz right here too. Amen. I tell you what, you just want to be attacked. You just decide you're going to be faithful to your Bible. And I tell you, my friend, listen, there'll be things come up. The phone will ring. Everything in the world will try to interrupt that time. Amen. With God. And I believe with all of my heart, God is trying to expose the enemy today and let us see that what he's really trying to do is keep us away from our Father and the fellowship that he wants us to enjoy with him. Tonight, there's the word we need to remember. Look in verse number 21 with me for a minute, please. He said here, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, I've heard a lot of preaching down through the years, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, we're not under the law. That's the truth. We're under grace. But let me tell you something about the law. Jesus' law is always tougher than Moses' law. And I believe that when the Lord tells us something like this, we ought to pay attention. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He said, thou shalt not kill, but whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Areka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, the enemy doesn't just want to come between the saints of God and their Bible, but the enemy also wants to come between the saints and the brethren. You see, Brother Ralph, you and I cannot be on the outs with one another and dwell in the secret place. How many knows I just told the truth? Hey, people say, well, I can walk with God whether I can walk with anybody else or not. I just don't believe that. Amen. I believe in order to be right with God, you got to be right with one another. Now listen, I can't make you respond to me, but I tell you what I can do. I can do my part. And when I've done that, I'm clean and I can go fellowship with God. When you've done that, you're clean and you can go fellowship with God. What I'm trying to get us to see, I don't even know. I asked my wife, I said, honey, am I even scratching at it right to try to get it across? The whole thing in a nutshell, my friend, all of this, the Beatitudes and all that Jesus is telling us is heading us into a prayer closet, into a sweet communion with Him, where the Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. And I'm telling you, the enemy is trying all these things to keep us away from that place in our life. The Bible said if you go and you're going to offer your gift and there you remember. Now wait a minute. There are a lot of people get this wrong. It's not that you get down there to pray and you remember that you have aught against your brother. That's not what it said. You get down there to pray and you remember your brother has aught against you. That's what it said. He said, first get up, go be reconciled to your brother, and I tell you what, then bring the gift. I tell you what, then it's going to get sweet once again under the wings of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In the place of blessing, the place of prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to understand the enemy a little bit better. It's not just about coming between you and me, Brother Larry. It's about coming between us and Him. That's why He would turn us on one another, amen? Not so much to come between us, but if He can get between us, He gets between us and Him. I believe with all of my heart. I don't know about you, but if I found out that somebody cheated me, that would bother me. It seems to me like we're living in a generation where the devil's cheating us every day. Amen. And it don't bother many people. Amen. We're cheated out of the secret place and cheated out of the blessings of God. Actually, we trade it for something else most of the time. Amen. The Word of God is telling us here. Let me go on down here just a minute. This is strong. Jesus said in verse 27, He said, you have heard it that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You say, preacher, why? Why is the pornography industry what it is? Why is lust what it is? Why is the billboards what they are? Why is the television the way it is? Listen, it's not just so much. Listen, it is busting up homes, and that's bad enough. Amen. But I'll tell you, it's not just so much to get the believer in a busted up home. I'll tell you what it's about, my friend. It's about getting the believer away from his God, because if my heart is full of lust for a woman, it cannot be full of love for my Savior. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's what the Scripture says. I could have read that passage of Scripture before God dealt like this in my heart, and all I would have been able to think about is myself and my precious wife. Or myself and the church and what it would mess up. You understand how many's with me right there? But I tell you, the devil's going a lot further than just messing that up. That ain't enough. That's bad enough. But he wants to mess it up between me and my Lord. Between you and your Lord. I'll tell you something tonight. Jesus said here, I'm going to tell you, Moses' law is easier than Jesus' law. Would the men in the congregation say amen anyway? Jesus said, if you look and you lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. He's trying his best to keep us out of the secret place, to keep us out of the place of blessing. to keep us out of the presence of the Lord. If you come on over here, the Bible talks about, you go on down here, and he said, in verse number 38, he said, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go to him that asketh, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than the others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." I say tonight, we do have enemies. But let me give you a verse of Scripture that really sticks in my craw. Maybe you can do something with it. It ain't never did anything but convict me. It says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." You know what I believe? When a man's ways pleases the Lord, I believe he's praying for his enemies. How many's with me right there? I believe he's praying for his enemies. But the whole line of thought right here is that the devil, Satan, wants us to be on the outs and have an enemy, and he'd rather us be bitter than to be better. Amen. Joseph didn't let him get him down. Amen. Yeah, he went down into the pit. He was in Potiphar's house. He went down into the prison. But the Lord was with him everywhere he went. Amen. And he was able to maintain close fellowship with the God of heaven. And then when it was time to forgive his brethren, some of the most tender passages of Scripture you'll ever read in your life are in the book of Genesis, when Joseph was revealing himself to his brethren. He was able to do that. Listen, I don't think the Bible says, if it does, I missed it. But I believe with all of my heart, Joseph prayed for his brethren before he ever met his brethren. I believe he had already forgiven his brethren before they ever showed up. By the way, let me just say this to you. If you're waiting on some people to ask you to forgive them, you'll die and go to heaven waiting. Say amen. You better learn how to forgive people whether they ask you to or not. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what if I don't?" You'll stay over here. If you want to stay in the secret place, you have to forgive others. Amen. And pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Here in the Word of God, Jesus said, "Take heed," in verse 1 of chapter 6, "that you do not your alms before men to be seen of men." He said, "Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms," he said, "do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets." Can you just imagine giving a tithe or an offering to the Lord as the men go back through the congregation? And Brother Randy standing up and blowing a trumpet. "Hey, everybody, look over here. I want you to see what I'm putting in the plate." I've got a saying for things like that. It's gag a maggot off a gut wagon. Say amen. It'd make man sick and God sick. Say amen. We don't do what we do to be seen of men. I used to know a fella, he was in the carnival business. I'm not going to call his name, I could. But he would take, are you listening to me? He would take a wad of $1 bills that big and wrap them in 220s. How many knows what he's trying to do? He's trying to impress. Say amen. I believe, my friend, listen, if you're going to put a $100 bill in the plate, wrap it up in a dollar bill. Amen. Don't do it to be seen of men. But let your Father see it and let Him reward you openly. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, it's a trap. But the main thing about the trap is to keep God's people from the presence of the Lord, from that secret place, from that prayer closet. The Bible said here, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, verse 5, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. I believe there are hindrances to the prayer closet. And I believe one of the reasons there are so many hindrances is because the enemy realizes we're going to get help. The help that we need in the prayer closet. I want you to go with me for just a moment. I'm not going to take the time tonight to preach all this out, but I'm just going to give you some things. I want you to go home with me in your mind and just go to the closet with me for just a minute. I know that in the Bible days that the average probably home didn't look like it did in this generation, but just go with me to your closet for just a moment. And what I'm praying is that God will take this message today and we'll understand, as we understand the help that we're going to get in the prayer closet, why there are so many hindrances to the prayer closet. Why the enemy wants to keep us out. Let me give you just several things right quickly. I'm just going to go by memory about the prayer closet. Are you ready? Let's go home. Go home. Are you there? In your mind, are you there? Let's go home. Let's open the closet door. The first thing about the closet that I want us to remember is it's a place to be alone. It's a place to be alone. I don't know about you, but if I was to go out there in that camper and open my closet door and somebody'd go, boo, you'd probably have to get another pastor. I'd have a heart attack and die. Amen. Fall in the floor. So the closet is a place to be alone. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Shut the door. It's a place to be alone. But how many knows there's something else in the closet? Think about this for just a moment. The main reason for the closet is the clothing. Ain't that right? How many's got clothing hanging in your closet? You say, preacher, I don't understand how that could be a blessing. How many knows what we're clothed in? We're clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many's ever felt been somewhere and you felt like you wasn't dressed right? Amen. You showed up, you know what I mean? And well, just the other night in the men's meeting where I preached, I mean, I went in there dressed to preach, but I was the only one. I'm just telling you, everybody, nobody told me it's casual. You understand what I mean? And I just thought, well, maybe I'm a little bit overdressed, but I'm going to tell you something right now. When you get in the throne room of God and you're one of God's youngins and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus and you're robed in the righteousness of Christ, you're dressed just right for the throne room. How many knows that's the truth tonight? We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You get in the prayer closet, there's something else you'll find. When I open the closet in our bedroom, My shoes are about that deep in the floor. But my wife's shoes are hanging neatly on a rack on the door. You say, why don't you put yours up there? There ain't room, Brother Gale. Amen. It's fold up. You say, preacher, what about shoes? Let me give you something. Let me give you something. Everybody listen. Listen to me carefully right here. I'm going to tell you why that we go week after week after week after week and never mention him to anybody else. Never witness. You'll not go week after week from over here. You get in that closet. You say, preacher, what shoes got to do with us? Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I tell you, when you spend time here, what's important to him becomes important to you. What's on his heart gets on your heart. Amen. How many knows more than anything else in the world? The souls of men are on the heart of the Savior. So you got a place to be alone. You got a place where there's clothing. You got a place where there's shoes. You guys that are married, amen, you know, it don't matter how big the rack is. I just don't have any shoes. You know what I mean? Amen. God's people have some shoes to wear. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me give you something else that's in the closet. We need to discover this. I'm going to pick on my son-in-law tonight. It's pick on son-in-law night. I'll tell you something else that's in the closet. And that's some things that don't fit. Oh, you just keep saving them. Say amen right there. Amen. I'm going to get back down to a size that ain't none of your business one of these days. Amen. You say, preacher, how many believes in the life of every believer there's some things that don't fit? Let me tell you what. The enemy don't want you because you'll never discover that over here. You always discover that over here. I didn't make you mad, did I, Bob? Okay. Amen. Amen. I made Olivia mad. Amen. You'll find some things that don't fit. Bob just got married. Everybody knows you're supposed to go that way after you get married. Amen. He's just keeping up with us. Amen. You'll find some things that don't fit. Let me tell you something else you'll find in the closet. Listen to me carefully right here. How many's ever went on vacation and hid something in the closet? Have you ever hid something in the closet? I don't know what we're thinking. If I was a thief, that's the first place I'd look, in the closet, amen, for something valuable. But I am telling you this. A lot of people go through life and they never really discover what's valuable in life. Because what's really valuable in life is not discovered over there. It's discovered over here in the prayer closet with our Lord. Let me tell you something else you'll find in the closet. Listen to me. You'll find dirt. Sister Carol, do you vacuum the closet every time you vacuum the bedroom? You don't? You do vacuum the bedroom, don't you? Okay, once in a while, I'm just aggravating her. Amen. You say, preacher, my closet's as clean as my bedroom. I'm glad for you, but most people's is not. You say, preacher, how in the world? You remember when David said, search me, O God. And try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let me tell you something about the dirt in our lives. We can go right on over here. But you bring it into this closet and our Lord will shine the light on it. You say, preacher, I ain't got no dirt in my life. I'm glad for you. I'm glad for you. Amen. But our Lord will shine the light on it. I've often used this illustration, you know, about the refrigerator. Man, it looks good. You can open it up and there's good food in it. But you take a mini mag, a little flashlight, and get down under it and see what you find. Let me tell you something. On the top, every one of us may be doing great. But down under, there may be some things that God wants to deal with. And we'll never have them dealt with over here. It'll take getting in that closet with Him. I'm going to tell you something else you'll find in the closet. You'll find some junk. We've been at it since I've been here as pastor, haven't we, men? Cleaning out closets around here. Amen. What do? We found ourselves even sometimes moving it from one closet to another, didn't we, brother? We just need to be pitched finally at last. Amen. Just needed to go. That's why the Bible said, let us lay aside every, what's the word? Weight. Not everything is sin, but some of it's dragging us down. And it's just junk. It just needs to go. Let me give you this, and I'm done tonight. I'm not preaching this out. You know that. I'm just giving you some thoughts. But when you open that closet door, I thought when the Lord dealt with my heart, I said, there's got to be something that I'm not seeing. And there was. Brother Rose, in most closets, there's a shelf. Brother Mike, that's where you and I can end up. On the shelf. Brother Gary, that's where we could end up. On the shelf. Most men that I know that love God, Brother Law would rather die than be on the shelf. Paul said, but I keep under my body, I bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I myself have preached to others, I would be a castaway on the shelf, rendered ineffective for the glory of God. I believe the closet's pretty important, don't you? If we're going to go on for the glory of God, God wants us to understand the need and the importance of that secret place in our lives. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been down this road 28 years now, and I still struggle. God is my witness. I am a whole lot more like Martha than like Mary. It is easier for me to be busy than it is to be godly. It's easier for me to get at something and do. But God wants us to remember the Christian experience. Sometimes we trade what's good and we take what's good, but we actually trade it for what's best. Jesus told Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But he said this, he said, Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I believe with all my heart tonight, this is a part that not enough is being said about in our generation, the secret place with our Father. I believe it would help us in our relationships. I believe it would help us in our service to the Lord. I believe it would help us in every area of our life if everything that's going on was birthed from this place right here. We got our orders right here. We're told to go from right here, the secret place. Enter thou into thy closet. Shut the door. You say, preacher, you mean God sees us even in the closet? God sees us especially in the closet. And I believe he'll help us to see ourselves better there as well. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in this place tonight. God, it is my prayer tonight that you'd help this preacher, help our people. Lord, I know tonight that, Lord, some may be very satisfied with where they are in their prayer life, in their closet life with the Lord. Lord, I for one am not satisfied. Thank you, God, for your patience.
I pray, Father, tonight that you'd stir and challenge our hearts. Lord, there's so many needs even this week, Lord. People are burying loved ones. Loved ones will be on the operating table. The precious saint of God that attended here for years, facing heart surgery. There's so much, our Father, to pray about. So much, Lord, we need your direction in. Lord, we're not just planning for Bible school, but Lord, we're praying for Bible school. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd lead and guide and, Lord, the lessons in every other part of our Bible school. Lord, I pray you'd help us to reach children before, Lord, the devil gets them, before the world gets them. I pray, God, you'd help us to be an influence in our community for right and for righteousness. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just stir our hearts now. God, I know that you've given us this passage of Scripture and you've shown us many, many ways that the devil and the flesh and the world is trying to keep us from the place of blessing. Oh God, tonight we need your blessing. Lord, there's so much in the world that's not real. God, would you help us to be real? Would you help us, our Father, to carry the burden that we ought to carry? Help us to be, God, what we ought to be. Lord, I realize tonight, Lord, that you're able. Lord, you can take these feeble words today, Lord, and stir someone's heart for the prayer closet. Lord, help us to get in there and help us to shut the door. Help us to pray to our Father in secret. Help us, Lord, to see you do great and mighty things, Lord. You said, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, I'm afraid when I get to heaven, I'm going to look back, Lord, and see that you wanted to do even so much more than, Lord, we were willing to ask you for and to believe you for. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Forgive us, our Father. Forgive us, our God. Cleanse us. And help us. Because, Lord, if you'll help us, then we can be a help to someone else. In Jesus' name.